You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
Purple Daily is daily Vikings entertainment. We just want the Vikings to win a Super Bowl before we die.
I will ride with this group.
Seriously, man. Please.
And away we go.
Okay. Judd Zolgad. Oh, the Before I Die hoodie in full effect.
Still got it on.
You haven't changed. You haven't slept or changed since last night.
Nope. I just came home and I've sat at my desk the entire time just waiting for the second round to start. And now it started.
It has. I got to throw it on here. I'm kind of disorganized because we just had an amazing happy hour at Three Jack. It was hard in a good way to get out of there because it was just so much fun. People are like, Vikings fans are on cloud nine right now after last night. Just an absolute blast at the Fillmore. We ran into some fans who were at US Bank Stadium last night, and we're going to, so obviously the Vikings don't have a pick here on day two right now. Right. I'd be shocked, quite frankly, if they traded back into the third round because they don't have a ton of capital. So I think they're more likely to maybe move back later in this draft. But the reason we're late is because old Macadac lost track of time and, here we are 10 minutes after 6 o'clock, but we're here for the next hour and a half. And we're pumped to recap the festivities from the draft so far with you guys.
Let's go back to last night, though. My God, Vikings fans, and I guess in particular fans of Purple Daily, made that an incredible night. I mean, that's as much fun as you can possibly have. And, you know, everyone involved in the background did a great job.
Yes.
The production was flawless. The night was fantastic. You guys are, as I think I've said this 2 years consecutively, now three, you guys are just awesome. Like you guys, people traveling in from Ohio, from Georgia, from Chicago, from Connecticut. I could go through.
29 states were represented at the Fillmore and two Canadian provinces.
Yep.
And a guy on the YouTube vent line was in Peru with his son and family. Peru, Lima, Peru.
Yeah, how could you schedule a trip during the draft to Peru? What's going on here?
Yeah, really irresponsible.
I mean, come on.
Really irresponsible.
You gotta be here during the draft. Anyway, it was fantastic. And yes, now night two, second, third round, as of right now, as you just said, with no picks. But you know what? Vikings fans shouldn't care.
Don't night need picks. One. Got night J.J. One. McCarthy.
Night one.
Got Dallas
I'm
Turner.
Back to the flag is back.
Where's the big flag?
You know, Ross Brendel asked me, our guy Ross, promotions guru and jack of all trades, Score North, he said, do you want to take it home? And I'm like, dude, if I walk in the door with that flag, I mean, that was a big flag. If I walk in the door with that flag, I will be in so much trouble. No, I said, you put it in storage. We'll bring it out for big events. But until then, I've got the hardware store Vikings flag, which is always old reliable.
Yeah, I think just to echo your sentiment, that was, I don't think it's hyperbole to say, I'll just speak for myself. I mean, you've been in this industry, the sports media industry, in one form or another for three and a half decades, whatever it's been for you. And it's been about, so I'm going to turn 39 years old here in May. And I started doing play-by-play in Buffalo, Minnesota for high school baseball games, town ball baseball games at KRWC 1360 AM radio. With Lynn Shepley, the legendary Lynn Shepley. Here we are. We're live in Dassel, Minnesota for a town ball baseball game between Dassel and Maple Lake. And so I've been doing this in one form or another, either as a writer or sports radio or the last 5 years, Score North, what we've built here with podcast and YouTube. And I think last night was the most fun I've ever had in my career. Like, it was just one of the coolest nights in 20 years. It was everything. It was the audience. It was the Fillmore. It was just the drama of the first 90 minutes, because once the Patriots got on the clock at number three, it was like you're on Vikings watch from that point forward.
Yeah, it was awesome.
It was an hour of tension.
Yes.
And just all of it, man, like to see that community of Vikings fans having a blast, and cheering with the J.J. McCarthy pick and the two different trade-ups. Vikings are on the clock. Judd waving the big flag. At one point, there was over 1,000 people just chanting, Judd, Judd, Judd.
That was pretty surreal. It was wild, right, man. That was pretty surreal. But here's the – so here's the great part is the high of Thursday night maintains on Friday. Because if we had just said, okay, first round of the draft, you're going to have to – like, let's say you keep 11, you're going to trade 23, you're going to go up and get McCarthy. But you're going to keep but you're going to keep 23 and your 2025 first. We all would have said, oh, that's a pretty good night. Like, yeah, the expectation was you might have to trade three draft picks. So just that alone with the quarterback that we know that the Vikings, he might not have been the main target, but he was definitely on their list. But when you consider that then they go and get Dallas Turner, the edge rusher from Bama, by trading up from 23 to 17, yeah, to solidify Brian Flores' defense. And I don't know if you guys saw this today, but it's going to be one of the great memes of all time. The reaction when Kwesi very like nonchalantly almost mumbles, we're getting Turner. And Kevin O'Connell's eyes, he literally looks like a kid who's being driven to school. And at the last second, his parents are like, oh, just kidding, we're going to the amusement park today.
Yeah. He was like, huh? What? We are? We're getting the best defensive player on our board? Huh?
Yeah. It was – that's one of the – that's going to be the highlight, I think, as far as the memes come from the Vikings draft 2024. I don't think you're going to top that one.
Yeah, that was hilarious. It would have – man, I'm sure they're going to release, and maybe they have. I don't know. I've just been we were at Three Jack for 2-3 hours just hanging out with fans and Vikings fans, Purple Daily fans. So I have not – if there's been like a blockbuster trade in the last 2 or 3 hours, I am behind. So I don't know. I hope the Vikings put out a fuller version of their war room process, which they have the last couple of years.
Agreed.
Is that out? Do we know? Have they put – because last year they put the thing out where KOC was like begging Kwesi to stay. Don't like stick to the plan. Nice job sticking to the plan with Jordan Addison.
I wonder if they're going to cut down on that a little bit, considering the fact that the media talked about that so much. Now I have not seen, I have not seen an extended thing yet, but McCarthy and Dallas Turner both did their press conferences. I coming home from Three Jack, I actually listened to the entire McCarthy presser. Pretty impressive young man. I mean, he's a kid, he's 21, but pretty impressive. Basically said that he started his track to playing professional football in fifth grade. And I think the first thing he said was he started to get his school in order at that point, realizing the importance of, but I mean, there's no question. This is a driven kid. So that's good news.
Yeah. Well, the anecdote that we've read a couple times is just, you know, that anonymous scout on Twitter talking about how before he signed with Michigan, he was telling the other recruits in his class, literally 17, 18 year old kids, hey, if you're here to party and chase girls, you can get the hell out of here. Get the hell out of my school, because I'm going to be the one and we're going to be the ones that put Michigan back on the map. And I know I'm going to try and resist the urge over the coming weeks and months to compare to the old wife, the old girlfriend. We're in a new relationship now.
He's already in a bad place. Marriage 3 is not working.
No, it's off to a rocky start. Hopefully they signed a prenup. Old Kirk and the Falcons. Well, they did, because Kirk gets to keep $100 million guaranteed. Yeah, so
it's a good prenup for Kirk.
That was the prenup. But one of the knocks, and some people kind of laughed at this, but I do think winning DNA is a thing that matters with quarterbacks, and it's not always quantifiable in statistics or in a box score. And it always kind of bugged me that going back to high school, college, Kirk had never come close to winning anything significant. Like, he never won a state championship in high school, never came close to competing for like a national championship in college. Again, not that you have to. Joe Flacco went to what, Delaware? Like, Ben Roethlisberger went to Miami of Ohio, right? So, but there's something about JJ McCarthy winning championships at every level and being part of championship teams. Now, did Michigan win a championship 100% because J.J. McCarthy? No, obviously not. It's nice to sit on top of an amazing running game and a defense and like all those things. But there, I don't know. There's just something about his personality, his DNA that's really intriguing. And then you pair it with the circumstances that he's being drafted into. And that, to me, that's one of the most important themes of this draft is Drake May might be more talented, might have a bigger arm, maybe has that Josh Allen upside on paper. But he just got drafted by one of the worst possible situations you could ask for in the NFL. J.J. McCarthy, on the other hand, got drafted into the best situation. And he told the media, every other quarterback I talked to that was in this draft class wanted to go to the Vikings. So there's just, I don't know, there's something about it that I feel really good about here going into his rookie year.
Well, and that's why, you know, in part, Justin Jefferson's so important here because who doesn't want to play with him? Like, who doesn't want to throw passes to that
guy? And they've
guy?
Been in contact,
yes,
those two.
Yes, and Jefferson said, don't worry about being called J.J., because they call me Jets here. Yeah. And he also talked about confidence and how confidence is so important. Yeah, I mean, this is, look, I think the reason why fans are so encouraged is the Vikings didn't just address needs short term. More importantly, they address needs long term. And like you can now see for the first time, I think in a long time, you can see the picture, the puzzle coming together with the pieces that are going to eventually be so important, right? I contend, I think next year this team is going to be competitive and fun. I don't know that they're going to win a ton. I don't know. I think that they could make the playoffs. But if you have patience here and you look at how this could shape up for 2025, March of 25, you have a ton of cap space. I think when we're talking about, well, the draft picks, they don't have enough draft picks. Okay, but in March of 25, if you have cap space, and now you can go out and get a corner and a DT, and I'm not talking about prospects. I'm talking about current upper echelon type of guys, okay? Dare I say it, there is no reason why 25 can't open a legitimate Super Bowl window. Of course, if McCarthy develops, there's a lot of ifs. But at least now, it feels like there's a plan in place here. And at least now, it feels like that plan looks like it has a good opportunity to work. It doesn't feel like it's being forced. Or worse, like there's just pure panic, which we've seen before. This doesn't feel like that.
This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom. And it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation. Off of that, does the division worry you a little bit more than it did a few days ago or certainly 6 months ago? Because if you look at this division right now, the NFC North is a freaking buzzsaw. I mean, obviously, Detroit took their step last year, one of the best teams in the league. The Packers took their step. And by the way, both those teams are among the youngest teams. Like the Packers are like one of the youngest playoff teams ever in NFL history. And then the Bears go out. Caleb Williams, number one. Rome Odunze. Look at their weapons up and down.
Yeah, Bears scare me. Which also really weird.
The Bears are kind of scary. And they're probably the third best team in the division too. And I, by the way, I know that last night, we went to the Hot Takes Grill presented by Northern Barbecue, Northern Fire Barbecue and Grilling a few times. So we were definitely on our hot take pedestal. But you said something that I don't think is a hot take, that you think the Vikings are a playoff team next year. And let's just back off the hot take and say that they're going to compete and flirt with the playoffs. Like the Vikings could be the worst team in the division on paper and still compete for like 8 or 9 wins. So I don't like the only thing that would scare me a little bit here the next few years is just I don't know that any of these teams are just going to walk over them like you have in year. Like there's been several years where, oh, you're playing the Bears and Lions. Well, that's at least 3 wins out of the 4, right?
Right. Well, here's my thought about that. 2024, I don't know. Like you might be right. You might get worked. I don't know. But I think if you just focus on the Vikings. So like, if you don't worry about, okay, the Bears are definitely, should be improved. The Packers are always competitive, if not good. The Lions look like they have turned a definite corner, but so if 2024, let's say you win 8 games, let's say it's rough. That actually puts you in last place. I still think you can look at 25 and say the future is super bright. Like this year, it's weird because the first 2 years of Kwesi and Kevin, in 2022, this team, 8 fourth quarter comebacks, mm-hmm. division title, but when it just comes to the variance and the luck, they probably won more games than they should have. Last year, they came up short in part because they probably lost games that they shouldn't have lost. But you looked at the picture last year and you still said, 2 years ago, you said they're running it back, which we all sort of questioned. Turned out okay.
Yeah.
Last year, you looked at it and you said, there's some real holes here. Like, what are you going to do at quarterback? What are you going to do here? What are you going to do there? We went into last year not knowing what Brian Flores could do with a defense that had been horrendous. Now you're starting to see the painting, to me, come together. And so I guess what I would say is this. I think this team's going to be competitive and fun next season, but I wouldn't sweat it because I think 25, I think we're going to be talking about, oh, okay, now, you know, especially again, if you go out and get a DT or a veteran, and I'm not talking a Shaq Griffin, like a cornerback who's elite.
Yeah.
Like that,
and, like a multi-year 28-year-old.
And Phil, 27. That's also the time we're going to be right back to this. That's also the time because the trade deadline has become, thank God, real in this league. That also might be the time that you do your Jalen Ramsey type of trade.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, we can win a Super Bowl. You know, we need to get past being afraid of can't give up the draft picks. You can't give up this. You can't give up that. If you have a Super Bowl opportunity, it's time to grab it. 25, 26, but 25 especially, I think, could be that.
So let's talk Super Bowl window here. I'm kind of with you. I think 2024 is like a free roll almost. For all the reasons we just talked about, there probably shouldn't be like playoff expert. If they don't make the playoffs, then Kevin O'Connell, Kwesi hot seat, right? I don't want them to win four games. I think it would be a red flag if they were healthy and, you know, like they went 5-12 or something, I would say, ugh. I don't know about that, but it's kind of a free roll to just, okay, JJ needs to develop, make sure you get Jefferson signed here in the next 3 months. You know, maybe it doesn't happen until training camp, but you really are kind of aiming for 2025 as go time. Mm-hmm. Now the Houston Texans might've told you going into 2023 that, okay, we got our new coach. We got some nice little pieces and we landed, not finally, because they had Deshaun Watson, but they landed another franchise quarterback in CJ Stroud. And I'm sure Houston Texans went into 2023 and said, okay, let's see what happens here. Probably not going to be winning 10 or 11 games, but you never know. And they were much more competitive than people thought they were going to be. And their window kind of opened. And now it's like trade for Stephon Diggs go time in 2024 for Houston. Right.
Absolutely.
That's the really interesting thing is that cap space isn't just for free agents. Cap space can be to absorb in a trade. Mm-hmm. So if you show some promise in 2024 and JJ McCarthy is interesting and, oh, well, wow, look at this. They got something going here. Do you make some sort of like whatever the Stephon Diggs trade is that Buffalo made a few years ago and then that the Houston Texans made? I'm not saying it has to be a wide receiver, but.
Right.
Who is that player, that defensive tackle that you might add to? Because so I think 2024, it's a fun see what happens here, and 2025 opens up a really interesting window. I think I'm with you on that.
And I think you do make that trade then, or that move. Absolutely, yeah. And here's what I really liked about last night. Last night pretty much came through with what I had said in the morning regarding Kwesi, which is to me it was his cojones draft. Like, let's see what the cojones are. Three years ago, marbles. 3 years ago, it was very much, we can get more picks and I can get creative. And it's like, okay, dude, no. I thought last night was a masterclass. And I mean, we can debate and I know, you know, we can complain about loss of draft picks and you should have more draft picks and you should do this and you should do that. Okay. But last night, as far as I can tell, you added two quality players, including a quarterback.
Yeah.
To me, that positions you so well. The interesting thing about the division, too, is this, okay? I find this one to be very interesting. So I think the Bears are actually in great shape. I know it sounds weird, but I think the Bears, they've got what was considered to be the best quarterback in the draft, rookie deal, great shape. The Lions, Goff's contract is coming up at some point soon. And more importantly, and this is the problem with sitting on a guy and suppressing him, you know, Jordan Love has, Jordan Love, his contract, 2024, his cap hit $12.8 million. Okay, that's great. 2025 right now, it's 5.3, which I don't think he ever plays for. Yeah. So my point is, has Green Bay, you know, the reason to draft a quarterback is to play him. And I know that now the Falcons are like, we're going to hold Penix on because that's the Green Bay plan. But all of that now can come back to bite you. So is Jordan Love going to stick around Green Bay, or is Jordan Love going to have another great year possibly and say, oh, you know what? Splitsville, trade me.
So, or even if he stays, okay, now he, or pay is me. It a stretch to say that he's literally going to cost them like $55 million in two years with the cap going up and
whatever the going rate is? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So my point though is the Packers appear positioned really well. That's going to end suddenly because of what they did with that contract.
Yeah. No, it's, yeah. Now they have enough good young players that are still going to be on rookie scale contracts here next year and the year after. I feel like the NFC North is going to be what the AFC North has been the last few years, where you've just got four teams that are all fighting for, like, the team that's projected to be in last might jump up and win 11 games like the Cleveland Browns did last year. So it's going to be, now to the Jared Goff point, he's not like an elite quarterback, but he's a good, competent top 12 quarterback. He's kind of the new Kirk Cousins in some ways, just like a few years younger. But are you going to, like, if you're the Lions, are you going to keep paying? Maybe the best thing that can happen to the Vikings is the Lions give a dumb contract to Jared Goff, and it kind of puts a glass ceiling on their franchise, and the Packers have to pay Jordan Love in like 2 years, and you're sitting on year two, year three, year four of a J.J. McCarthy rookie scale contract, you know?
Jared Goff, 2024 is the last year of his contract. The cap hit is $32.3 million. So
yeah,
so he's going to have to get paid, and that's going to—I mean, 32 mil is not cheap, but it's going to go up from there if he puts together any type of season.
Yeah.
So now the Vikings could be in really, really pretty damn good shape QB wise for the first time in forever, which is what we've been pushing for a long time.
Yes, I want to add, because I did not have a chance to listen to the J.J. McCarthy press conference, so I want to tap your brain. Just what you sort of heard and sensed from that, but just a quick update. We certainly, I don't think we're going to be live for like an hour, hour and a half. We're not going to be live the entire night for rounds two and three, because the Vikings don't have a pick. And so therefore we aren't going to update you on every single pick, but I will just provide a quick update that we have complete chaos in the first part of the second round. A bunch of trades are happening. The Bills wound up taking, they wound up sticking at 33 and taking Keon Coleman, but I think we've had at least two or three trades already. And Jerzon Newton just went to the Commanders, or Johnny Newton, as they're calling him. So he's a defensive tackle that at one point was mocked to the Vikings at times in the first round. So okay, we'll see. I would be shocked if the Vikings traded back into the third round with how much middle round capital they traded the last few weeks and yesterday.
So I was going to say, what would they even have unless you go into future drafts?
Well, let me ask you this. Well, this is moot now because the conversation was about Johnny Newton. But I had a great conversation with some Vikings fans, many of which were from the Chicago area, at 3 Jack tonight. Mm-hmm. And the conversation was about, would you trade next year's first round pick to get up into the second round tonight to get a guy like Johnny Newton?
I was asked the same question.
Or somebody else. Yeah, and I said, that'd be fun, but I say, I'd probably do it for Johnny Newton, but he's with the Commanders now. But I think at this point, you probably just sit this night out if you're the Vikings. You did a nice job last night. You traded up a couple times.
Well,
and you got the 108 to start your day off tomorrow.
And also, you know, just on the off chance, and there's an off chance that you are terrible next season, you'd hate to be sitting there with a top three pick.
Correct.
And not have it. Like, I think the Vikings are going to be competitive. I don't think that they're going to be a train wreck.
Their schedule's tough.
But I can't, like, you can't just, I mean, let's say McCarthy simply isn't prepared to play yet. So you're not going to force him in. You're going to play Darnold. Let's say you can't fix him. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there's that sliver of chance the Vikings are awful.
Yep. It is. Yeah. And even if they're like kind of bad, you know, if they're like 6 or 7 wins because they have a tough schedule and the rookie quarterback is kind of struggling, I'm kind of with you. I think it's more valuable to hang on to that first round pick. So I want to ask you about the press conference here, but can we shout out a couple of our friends here? Do you want to talk about Ugly Deck for the audience here, Judd?
I absolutely do, because guess what? They are called uglydeck.com, but their goal is to rid the, at least Twin Cities, if not the nation, of ugly decks. And springtime, it's the perfect time to mean it's deck time, a new deck from uglydeck.com. Now, there's two ways to go about this, install or DIY. Uglydeck.com is offering up to $1,000 off for a limited time. That's right, $1,000. With install, you're going to get the best carpenters who are going to give you a deck like that. With DIY, you're going to get the best coaches to help you from start to finish. That means that you can do it, but you're going to get help every single step of the way. Ugly Deck, as I said, on a mission to rid the world, not just the nation, not just the Twin Cities, the world of ugly decks. Setting up appointments now at their Shakopee Deck Design Showroom, uglydeck.com. Thank you for your sponsorship.
Also, thank you to Federated Insurance for not only for, you know, these last few months, but just like the last few years, they've been with us, helping us as we build Score North and Purple Daily. And if you're a business owner out there, you got to make sure you have a game plan in place to stay focused on safety and preventing claims. Let the team at Federated Insurance support your business. Federated offers a customizable lineup of industry-specific coverages and risk management services to help you continue your winning streak as a business owner. At Federated Mutual Insurance Company, it's our business to protect yours, rated A-plus superior by AM Best Company. And a shout-out to J.J. McCarthy. In fact, these little shirts you see here on the screen, you can find these. Sorry, I'm hitting my microphone with the J.J. shirt. These J.J. to J.J. Purple Daily shirts and hoodies and crew necks available at scorenorth.com/shop. scorenorth.com/shop. So what are some of your main takeaways from, I'm excited to go back and listen to the full press conference, but JJ McCarthy speaking to the media at the official introductory press conference.
He's very young, but he comes off as super mature for his age. He knows exactly what he wants. Very focused, but I wouldn't say he is a corporate quarterback. Hint, hint. I could see why guys gravitate to him. He has a presence. Now, again, he's young, but he's got a presence. I was impressed because, and this is the good thing about playing for a national championship at Michigan, there was zero fluster. Like, there was a control. Now, I will warn you, the podium's a little bit dangerous because we've seen guys be good at the podium before.
Christian Ponder was actually really good.
He was. Well, and because Christian Ponder was an incredibly smart human being. Mm-hmm. Problem was, you put him on the football field and it all went to hell. The good news here is with McCarthy, we're talking about a guy who has, no matter what you consider the body of work, he has succeeded under pressure in a national championship. So I like what I heard. I think what you're going to get to is a guy who is, I don't think that the setting, and this is the most important thing I think to start with, is I don't think the setting is going to be too big for him from the day he steps on the field. This doesn't seem like a guy who's going to get nervous or rattled. Really sounded like a guy, to go back to, he basically said, I've been preparing for this since fifth grade. Really seemed like a guy who has been incredibly disciplined and knows exactly what he wants. I'll give you a little thing. He didn't want to talk about this a ton, but he was asked about his love of hockey and being a player, a successful one, a good one. And in Illinois, and I believe he said he left hockey, he quit hockey in his freshman year of high school. And he said he was playing for a AAA team. And he would go to football practice like Monday through Thursday. Mm-hmm. And then 2 days of the week, he would have to get in his car after and drive to Skokie, because I guess that's where the rink was, which was about an hour away from his hometown, to practice. And he said, in high school, in freshman year, I basically said, I got to pick one. And he picked football. Why is that impressive? Because a lot of kids at that age can't do that. Like a lot of, like he clearly just said, I'm going to focus on, and multi-sport stuff is great, but if you have to drive, and he essentially said my body was like, it was a lot. So I sort of liked the decision there, not because he was lazy or not because he didn't like the sport,
yeah,
but because it sounds like he has just been incredibly singularly focused, which to go back to what you said, that makes the whole thing about, hey, if you're coming here to party and chase girls, I don't want you. That makes that make way more sense. See, those are, I think, right there. So like we talk about intangibles, right? And like a winning DNA. And what is that? I think that is exactly what that is. It's a focus on what you deem to be the most important thing. And ultimately, it's winning. Mm-hmm. And so if you don't want to be part of the solution, get the hell off my team.
Yeah.
I think that is right there. That paints the portrait of why this kid in high school went to 3 championship games. I think he won 2 championships, won a national title, lost 1 game in college because he basically said, if you don't want to be part of what I do, I don't want you here. I don't care if I like you. I need you to be able to win.
Was he asked any like critical questions? Any questions about like some of the things that like maybe dropped him? I mean, dropped him as he was drafted 10th, for God's sake.
Yeah, so. Chip Scoggins, our friend, asked him about the style of offense in which he played, and he talked about. He said, "Well, it was a pro style because it's the Niners' old Harbaugh offense." Mm-hmm. He said it was a pro style offense. Now it didn't call on me to do as much consistently, but it was actually, and that's my thing is, if Jim Harbaugh likes you as much as Jim Harbaugh liked this kid, something's right with you. Because, and that goes back to his discipline. Like Harbaugh wants you, he wants you to grind football. Mm-hmm. He wants you to watch tape. He wants you to go in as, you know, McCarthy talked about, and it's a cliche, but first one in, last one out.
It's an obsessive football cult that he builds everywhere
Harbaugh,
he goes.
And as you know from Booney, Harbaugh mm-hmm. leads that cult. Like there ain't no room for, I'm sort of in, coach. So yes, so it is a cult. It is a lifestyle. It was funny because one of my thoughts as I listened to the press conference and J.J. McCarthy go through this litany of like things and blah, blah, blah. I thought to myself, I bet he works on Tuesdays. I bet he's going to be in there grinding that film on Tuesdays. Dude. And I bet he's going to get, and that's the type of guy who will then get teammates to show up on Tuesdays. And before anyone says that's too much football, one, the professionals, and two, it's a season. It's not a year-round thing.
Yeah. By the way, you can get your official I Work Tuesdays merchandise at scornorth.com/shop. We legitimately have I Work Tuesdays shirts on scornorth.com/shop. Do you want one?
Well, I got to get one.
Yeah. Well,
2XL. Thank you.
Okay, we'll make that happen. Yeah, I should get one too. We should both wear them on the show. But, you know, the Tuesday thing, it became just such a caricature of itself with people arguing, like comparing their normal 9-to-5 jobs. Like, well, doesn't someone deserve an off day? Like, they work on Sunday. You got to take an off day. It's like, dude, you have, I mean, think about like Booney and Searles, who are friends of the show. Like, you have people in the NFL saying, oh yeah, quarterbacks during the season. First of all, it's the season. So it's once the season starts and training camp starts in August. But I don't think you're going to have to worry about, not that I don't think Kirk ever underworked or underprepared necessarily, but was there like a blitz protection that he missed because another quarterback was grinding on Tuesdays? I don't know, but that's like a thing that will not have to be talked about with JJ McCarthy.
But it's setting the tone for the building completely, right? Like to me,
it's very casual. It's very casual.
But to me, it's not like I Kirk missed a thing. I mean, the guy would, you know, drive around and have taped his cadences. I mean, Kirk worked hard.
Yeah.
But it goes beyond that to me. Being in the building on Tuesday signifies that you have during the season no time for anything but trying to win. And look, pro sports is brutal. Like, if you don't want to be in pro sports, and we've seen guys who shouldn't be, then get out, retire.
But if you do, there's not a lot of time for life, man. Like I get very frustrated by this lack of understanding of what, and look, we don't. Okay. So I'm not trying to say like Mackie and Judd work grind and grind, but when you watch guys that are winners, they make sacrifices. Like their lives on their deathbeds, I'm sure some of them are like, I didn't live the life I thought I'm, but
Tom Brady literally chose the Buccaneers for another run over his family.
Correct. You know? But I'm saying like, that's a legitimate conversation. It's a legitimate conversation to say, if you want to win a Super Bowl, not if you want to be good, because I think you can be good and live a very normal life. But if your singular focus is to win a Super Bowl and then win another and then potentially win a third, mm-hmm. I don't think you have a lot of time for life. Again, it's seasonal. It's seasonal work. Like, let's not act like it's not. It's seasonal work. You do get off time. The other thing is, it's also a very short span of your life. But you have to make sacrifices.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I think he just... I'll say this. I was on the Ponder bandwagon once upon a time for a few months, maybe like the first year. So I have been dead wrong about quarterbacks before. But there is something really intriguing about the all-in factor for J.J. McCarthy. So what do you have any sense from the press conference? I don't know if anyone talked about this. Have Sam Darnold is the QB1 right now, right? Like, but is there – listen, Russell Wilson 12, 13 years ago was drafted in the third round after Matt Flynn, I think it was, signed a contract with the Seahawks, and there was no intention of Russell Wilson starting really at all in year one. But sometimes a young dude comes in, he blows everyone's socks off as a performer and a leader at training camp and in the offseason program.
Correct.
You know, I guess how much room do you think there is? I think in an ideal world, Sam, you're the QB1 in week one, but how much wiggle room is there for J.J. McCarthy to just be the dude right out of the gate?
Well, first of all, I think he's more prepared to play than Drake May. And in fact, I don't know if you caught some of the snippets of this I saw on X today, but Bill Belichick was on the McAfee show night.
KOC, yeah, well, he texted KOC to get him on.
And here's the funny thing, too, is when Bill decides to be glib, like, Bill's really good. Anyway, he talked about Drake May, and now May went to the Patriots, and I'm guessing Bill doesn't feel great about the Patriots right now. But anyway, he talked about the fact that May's footwork is a mess. It needs work, you know. Mm-hmm. I think May ultimately might be the better QB talent-wise. As I keep saying, I think McCarthy's more prepared to play now, in part because he played for Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah.
You know,
Bill raved about McCarthy.
And that's what I was just going to say. Bill raved about him in part because he's a winner. And so I don't think, now I have no problem with McCarthy not playing, but if you're asking me for odds, I think there's at least he's got to have a 10% to 15% chance, right? I mean, it's gotta be legit. And the other thing is, you know, that if McCarthy is wired, like it sounds, that he and O'Connell will be spending like once they can, which I think they can now. I mean, they will spend countless hours together.
Yeah.
Grinding through things. Darnold is going to be, you know, hey, Sam, here's the playbook and I'll help you out a little bit. And here's the quarterback's coach.
Yeah.
Or here's the assistant QB's coach. But I mean, McCarthy's going to become their project, which is not a bad thing.
Yeah, the Darnold thing is, I continue to say that there is a parallel universe where it would be really fun to see what Sam Darnold can do with the all-in tutelage that this infrastructure could provide. But, you know, it just kind of sucks for him that he got stuck in such a bad situation with the Jets, got kind of broken. You know, the most famous clip from him is, I'm seeing ghosts. And
yeah.
So, but, you know, I don't know. I think you're probably right. I would put a little higher than maybe 10. I'd say probably, there's probably like a 20 to 30% chance that this dude just comes in and wow, look at, he's impressing everyone with his maturity and everything else. But on the Belichick front, he was great on the clips that I saw. I don't know. They're probably paying him seven figures to be part of this whole, whole deal. He was more enthusiastic. He was telling stories.
Did you hear the Moss story about the Moss trade?
Well, I heard Randy Moss tell that story. I'm pretty sure Moss told it from his end, where he was like, he thought Belichick was pranking him, right?
Yeah, Belichick. Belichick said he hung up on him twice.
Yeah,
and he's like, who is this? Who's pranking me? And then he got a plane. He had a private plane in Houston. He flew to Boston, got the physical the next day, and then Belichick's like, yeah, we did the physical the next day, which was like this. Like, what's your temperature? Okay, you're good.
You're good. Yeah.
But yeah, but it's, I don't think it's, I don't think it's that we should dismiss the fact that he praised McCarthy. I don't think Belichick will praise you unless he totally means it.
Yeah. And so the things that he, and again, I know there's some people that are like, what does Bill Belichick know about quarterbacks, this, that, and the other? Well, Bill Belichick, I know that it's been kind of a disaster since Tom Brady departed, but that dude's opinion on football does matter. And the things that he was praising were McCarthy's mechanics, McCarthy's just like, I guess, his meticulous approach to his craft.
But that's why he could play immediately if O'Connell. Chips Goggins on Purple Access today did have one good point. He said, to go back to Kirk, you know, when O'Connell got here, Kirk talked about how in-depth that the system is, and he's like, at that point in time, Kirk was like, there's a lot to learn here and I'm scuffling with it. So I, that might be, if Kevin O'Connell is not convinced that McCarthy is up to speed enough, I could see that, and that wouldn't be a terrible thing.
Yeah,
but I think the mechanics, and I think the fact that he was basically tutored, or he was not basically, by a guy that played in the league, I think that becomes important, because a lot of those flaws that May probably carries around still aren't part of McCarthy's game.
Yep. Hey, can we touch on another thing here too, that this has been a theme throughout not only the last several months on this show, but the last few years, because every time draft season rolls around, it's like, oh, well, the starting quarterback only has 1 year left on his deal because he only does short-term deals. So the Vikings could draft a quarterback, and we always get into the risk conversation that, oh, it's, you got to be careful. It's funny now, actually. I'd love to survey all the fans that 3 or 4 months ago were like, oh, my God, you know, you can't. Oh, you
Vikings fans have totally changed.
You couldn't possibly move off of this over here. It's like, I think hopefully most people are now bought into maybe what we were talking about, which is don't be afraid. This could be fun. But the idea that drafting a quarterback is risky because look at all the busts. And I've always tried to paint the picture that, well, of course it's risky. It's the draft. Like, if you look at any other position, it's also risky to draft a cornerback because a lot of them bust out. And I don't think I've ever been able to bring, like, quantitative data to the table that illustrates this quite like ESPN's Adam Schefter and Paul Hembo. We'll call him Hembo. What's his last name? Hemba Dacus or whatever, right? They're ace producer. So they put out a great statistic here, or like a statistical graphic of the last, it's the 20 drafts between 2000 and 2019. And it's the percentage hit rate for each position drafted in the first round. And what they're saying for a hit is, did that player sign a second contract with the team that drafted them? Mm-hmm. Which, there's some gray area there, because like Daniel Jones signed a second contract. I don't know that he's a hit. Well, Garrett Bradbury signed a second contract.
He was against Ed Donatel's defense. He was great against Ed Donatel. Twice. Ed Donatel got him that second contract.
That's true. So there is a little noise from that regard, but that noise is for all positions, because there you can find guys like that everywhere. Here's the interesting thing. So quarterbacks from that period are a 46% hit rate that they sign a second contract with their team. And that is the fifth best percentage hit rate of the, 12 positions listed?
Okay.
So the wide receiver hit rate is 27% in the first round.
I saw this, yes.
Quarterback is 46%. Mm-hmm. Tight end, 33%. Safety, Lewis Cine will be on that list, not the hit list. 34%, running back 38%, cornerback 38%. So again, we say it's so risky to draft a quarterback. Dude, it's way riskier to draft, you know, Mike Hughes or Jeff Gladney, rest his soul.
Well, I think it's first of all because when a quarterback does not succeed, it's a spectacular fail. And second
higher
of all,
profile, yeah.
And second of all, we're scared. We're scared. I mean, Ponder was a bust. The Teddy thing, unfairly, was considered a oh my God, what happened? How did this happen?
Yeah.
You know, it's like I was talking about last night. It goes back to draft picks and the Herschel Walker trade. What if you lose all these draft picks? Well, yeah, if you do something totally stupid, yes, you're probably in trouble. But yeah, that and the thing about this too is I'd be curious what the quarterback hit rate is, breaking it down, and this is very subjective, by competence of organization when it comes to the said position.
Correct. Yeah.
Like this is the thing, is Kevin O'Connell, you know, and I've said this 1,000 times, he was hired to do this. So like, and I don't think they took JJ McCarthy because they missed out on May and Kwesi's like, screw it. Let's throw the dart at the dartboard. Yeah.
Like what if we took out, to your point, what if we took out the from 2000 to 2019, if we took out the Browns during that period, correct, the Commanders, the Bears, like the most incompetent quarterback franchises, those, well, you, because those are just like whiff after whiff, no second
and you could
contract.
Take out, and you could take out Ponder. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was a Rick Spielman draft pick.
Because at the time, think about the infrastructure there.
Yes, exactly.
You had, and I'll even like take Spielman and Kwesi out of it. Let's just take those guys out. When the Vikings drafted Ponder, they had, because Leslie Frazier was the coach, they had basically a first-time defensive coach.
Who didn't want a rookie quarterback.
And a non-heralded offensive coordinator in Bill Musgrave, right? He was like, he had been an offensive coordinator before, yeah, but he didn't have like a track record,
no,
a Brian Daboll, well, track record.
He,
right,
did eventually, Phil, but it wasn't the track record you want.
Exactly. And I'm trying to think back, but like Christian Ponder's weapons, I think he had a Percy Harvin for a minute.
That
was kind of the end of Percy Harvin.
Yes. Yes, he did.
But beyond that, it was like Michael Jenkins and washed up Greg Jennings.
Mm-hmm.
So again, like Ponder was going to be a bust pretty much no matter what. But then even like, look at Tavares Jackson. Okay. He did have an offensive minded head coach, but like Brad Childress was in way over his head as a head coach. And his weapons that he was throwing to were like Bobby Wade.
Well, he was, if I'm not mistaken, Tavares was also the last pick of the second round. So at that point in time, you know, as you've gone through 1,000 times, the hit list, there are some hits, but it's not exactly a greatest hits album right there.
Yeah.
So like they were trying to sort of will that because T-Jack came from a smaller school and had a big arm. But this is the Vikings, in my opinion. This is their most thought-out quarterback pick since Culpepper. Bridgewater was, as I understand it, because if you recall, he had a terrible pro day. And it was Norv Turner who just said, I'm going to go back to Miami and put him through a workout. And then Norv came back. And make fun of Norv all you want. He knew what he was looking at, right?
Yeah.
But I don't think that was a really sound organizational decision. I think, you know, in the case of Denny with Dante, turned out to be an unbelievable pick. And at least in this case, you're giving yourself a fighting chance for it to succeed.
Yeah. And Culpepper's infrastructure was kind of similar to the current Vikings infrastructure.
And he didn't play for a year.
Yep. He sat for the entire first year. But you've got like Hall of Fame caliber WR1. You've got good veteran running back. You've got some good offensive line pieces, and then a mastermind offensive coaching staff led by Denny Green was a great offensive coach.
Yep. Who was basically, because when he left, that there's no question in 2000. So Scott's last year was 2004 here. 2005, before he got hurt, Culpepper, if you recall, was struggling big time. That was partially because poor Steve Loney was being asked to coach the offensive line and call plays.
Yeah,
I mean, that changed a lot of things. String
budget.
And Moss was gone. Yeah. So, yeah. Culpepper is probably the greatest example of what happens when you give a guy a real chance.
Yeah. Let's, speaking of Hall of Fame infrastructure, wide receiver one, let's have the Justin Jefferson conversation here briefly. after we shout out our friends at Northern Fire Barbecue and Grilling, who man, they brought it last night. I don't know if we've picked a winner yet, but people were entering to win the smoker that was our smoking hot takes desk last night on
just
stage
at the Fillmore.
Just to be clear,
our friend Miles, who was on the prospects desk, who did a fantastic job along with Tyler Fornes, he said his wife and kids had put in to try to win that. He's not eligible, right?
I think he's part-time with us. He's part-time with us.
Oh, so there's loopholes.
I think we'll let that one slide.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because that was a beautiful...
It's not rigged.
That was a beautiful grill. And let me just tell you right now, that was only part of what is called, rightfully so, the best barbecue playground in town, Northern Fire Grilling and Barbecue Supply. Let me tell you about the different ways. I mean, there was a sauce wall. There are the grills. And we're not talking about just your ordinary standard grill. We're talking about grills that can be installed. They'll come and install it at like your cabin. We are talking 70 different gas grills, over 150 dry rubs, a sauce wall that's absolutely fantastic. Also, unique cuts of meats and seafood. Northern Fire has it all. Just check out their website, northernfirebbq.com. Or check out their location, which is just north of Highway 62 on Shady Oak Road. If it involves barbecue, guess what? Northern Fire Grilling and Barbecue Supply, they are going to have it. And again, thanks to them sponsoring the Hot Takes Desk last night, which got plenty of use because there was a lot of fire on that stage.
That was awesome, man. It was fun. Like one of the
Declan
things...
Declan got booed.
What did he say again?
And rightfully so. He said Herbert's not that good.
Oh, that it would have been... Yeah. Would have been a mistake.
He was rightfully booed. Let me just say that.
He was being and very antagonistic. He started to get booed, and then he started lashing out at the crowd.
Yeah, well, that's Declan. I can't say I wouldn't have done the same, but that's Declan.
Yeah, but I think like one of the things just behind the scenes before we get to the Jefferson conversation, when we first decided on the Fillmore, a concert venue with a pretty large stage, like usually you'd have a band up there with a bunch of instruments and like filling out the stage, and we're like how are we going to fill out this? It's just going to be the three of us with maybe like the PDOD guys, and then all of a sudden some ideas started popping up, and then John, our vice president of Skull Chant Affairs, he's like, I got a bass drum if you guys want. We're like, cool, you're on stage.
That was
and then Northern Fire's like, you guys want a smoker? We're like, that's our hot, that can be our
one,
hot takes desk. It'll
and
be
then
great.
They put, and then so we were going to give one or we're going to give one away, but then they put another smoker out there.
That one was like.
How big was that one?
I don't know, man, but that was, the whole thing. That was just a blast. The whole thing, the stage setup, the staff,
those
the crowd.
Chairs, I could have taken, I could have slept in those chairs.
Very comfortable chairs. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And for people wondering, like what are you guys looking down at the whole time? Those monitors, what was on those? Because the people on YouTube and the crowd couldn't see. So we had the two monitors in front, and one of them was just, we selected like 20 or 25 NFL Twitter accounts that were tweeting out news and picks. And so we just had that on a scroll. So anytime news broke. And then the other one was just what you guys saw on YouTube. It was just like, so we could see when people came on for Ventline, we could look at that screen and see you guys. But I mean, it was legitimately like a cable news network production, I feel like. It was like an ESPN level production in some
way. Pat and his crew from a production standpoint.
Yeah. Pat, Adam, Tim, like.
Yes. Man. Yes. It was, it's safe to say it now because it's done, but that thing came out without a glitch.
Which is, I was going to say kind of, it's not shocking because of Pat, Tim, and Adam, and they're all amazing. But it's like, those guys started setting up at noon, and there's 50,000 wires and screens and cables and different microphones. And for it to not somehow glitch out, or I'm always worried about the internet too, because you never know.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
Like a weird internet connection.
That's my point, because I mean, we've all had glitches there, right? I mean, it's just, especially if you're going to be on for 4 hours, so...
And real quick, since we're on it, like, it is now the YouTube edition of the live draft party last night is now officially the second most viewed Purple Daily piece of content that we've ever put out on YouTube. The only thing, and it's, by the way, the Colts comeback victory.
Which,
which you left that game early, but that's what made it even more entertaining.
I know. I got.
But it is, yeah, it was just, I don't know. Thank you guys. It was a freaking blast. So, okay. So J.J. McCarthy and Justin Jefferson have been in contact, and Justin Jefferson apparently told J.J., hey, there's only one J.J. here. It's you. I'm Jets. You're J.J. I'm Jets. Okay. Do you think it's, at this point, a done deal? Now that Justin Jefferson knows who the quarterback is, and we can maybe do like a full episode on this at some point, but just for a few minutes, do you think it's kind of a done deal? Do you think the Vikings pay whatever it takes at this point now that everyone knows who the quarterback is?
I think so, unless there's something more about the contract. Like, this has been my thing is to go back to the Florio report probably 3 months ago now, right? About the guaranteed and that the Vikings don't ordinarily guarantee contracts fully, except they did with Cousins. But Jefferson wants that, and quite frankly, I don't blame him. So I don't think if the quarterback was, you know, pie chart of trouble with Jefferson's contract, right? Let's say the quarterback with Kirk gone was 8% or something, you know, because it's never been like, oh, it's all the quarterback. But if that was, that 8% is now, in my opinion, gone. I mean, yeah. That's a great up. And you know, part of the problem, too, is people believe the stuff that players say. You know, last day, clean out day this season, Brian O'Neill, oh, I got it. We got to have Kirk back. We got to get Kirk back. He's our guy. He runs this room. Kirk leaves. Brian O'Neill, looking forward to the future. It'll be great. You know, these are things.
Yeah. Is Brian O'Neill throwing a tantrum right now that they drafted?
Covered guys. This is what they say. And it's not that he didn't like Kirk. It's not that he liked Kirk. It was that he said what he felt at the time, but it holds no weight.
Yeah.
And, you know, if I'm a player with the Vikings as far as the direction, I'm feeling pretty damn good right now. Mm-hmm.
Mike says, breaking news, Atlanta drafted a first-round quarterback to work on Tuesdays.
Yeah. Wow, that's you know, what's going to happen when Raheem Morris informs Kirk that Michael Penix Jr. is in the building every Tuesday?
Well, okay, let's play this out for a second.
And when Kirk struggles and the fans chant, we want Penix.
I mean, it is,
that was
okay.
His fear here.
I want to come back to this thing. Let me make a note here. Tuesdays, Penix. Okay, I don't want to forget. On the JJ front, I do think it's fair for him, and I don't know if he was specifically waiting to see what are they going to do at quarterback. I think the money in the contract is the most important thing, but I want to know. I don't have to sign until after the draft. So if I'm him, yeah, show me what's the plan here. Okay, Sam Darnold. Yeah, I remember that guy from USC. It's a good time. But I think now that it's JJ McCarthy, and just like if you're a teammate of him, how do you not love that guy? So I would assume that Justin Jefferson sort of respects his game, championship, whatever. I think this, to your point, I think this might ease any, whether it's 8% or 20% angst. Like, I do think it eases that. And now the Vikings are just officially in a position where they've got their rookie scale contract quarterback, which means they've got money to spend up against the salary cap the next 4 to 5 years.
Correct.
And Justin Jefferson, even at like $34, $35 million a year, is the highest paid non-quarterback. That's a lot of money, but it's much more affordable because you're only paying quarterbacks. Like, Sam Darnold comes off the books after this season. Yep. And by the way, it's not like a huge deal, but I think the fact that J.J. McCarthy went 10th instead of 3rd, for instance.
Oh, that affects it.
Like, that affects it too, yeah. So NFL draft salary for sure. Slots.
Well, and Phil, as you just said, Justin Jefferson wants to be and probably will be the highest paid non-quarterback. Like, look at the disparity there. Yeah. Like, Justin Jefferson's not going to shoot up to the 3rd highest paid player. There is, it basically goes quarterback, 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 blah, 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 and then Justin Jefferson.
Yep.
So it's a lot, but in the world of quarterbacks, it's not a lot.
I'm curious here. Just so this is NFL draft. I want to find this.
What the 10th slot makes?
Yeah, this should be on SportTrack here. Let's see.
Has it been decided yet, though?
Yeah, I think it's already.
Okay, I didn't know if it had been.
Here it is. Yeah. Okay. Average annual value for Drake May, $9.1 million. Average annual value for JJ McCarthy, $5.4 million. That's slotted. So again, that's an extra like starting slot cornerback or a starting guard in terms of, now you can move money around. But the fact that your starting quarterback is going to make $5.5 million a year instead of $40 or $50 million a year means you can afford Justin Jefferson.
And he's going to work an extra day.
Jefferson always works Tuesdays, doesn't he? He's always
does, but I'm saying McCarthy's going to work an extra day from your previous QB. So you're getting him for way cheaper.
On a per day value, yeah.
And he's working more hours.
But okay, on the Penix thing for a second. I like Penix. If the Vikings would have wound up with Penix, I would not have put up a fight. I think you were kind of in the same boat, like if it played out that way. But what's going to be really interesting is Michael Penix's teammates in college seem to love him. Like he was a rally around type of a personality. It seems like maybe the Falcons fell in love with his leadership and just his whole dynamic. So you've got this 36-year-old dad-like presence that people get along with. You know, people like him, like Kirk. But then you've got this 24-year-old, really cool, relatable leader in your locker room.
Right.
And maybe he starts lighting it up a little bit at practice. I just wonder what that dynamic's going to be like. Because he did not get drafted 8th overall to just concede the competition, right?
No.
He's coming in to compete for a starting job, even if it's not given to him right away.
Yes.
And if he's in the, let's say he's in the building on Tuesdays on a regular basis with the other 40 to 50% of guys that come in NFL locker rooms on Tuesdays. Confirmed, by the way. That it, like, in most NFL locker rooms, it is a large percentage of guys that come in on Tuesdays.
Yep.
I just wonder, like, if the locker room forms a bond and the fans start to like him, like, it's going to be really hard to hold him off for, like, 2 or 3 years.
Well, let's play this out, too, by saying Kirk Cousins is coming off a torn Achilles. He is in a new system again with a new coach. And now I know that their OC comes from the Rams, so it's going to be some of the same stuff that O'Connell was doing. But what if Kirk starts to have a 2018 season in his first season with the Falcons?
Yeah.
And, you know, Kirk, I think Kirk's worst nightmare was the home stadium saying, we want Penix.
Oh, man.
We want Penix.
Because Kirk just wants security, right? He wants the security he wants money, but he wants to know that I'm the guy and you're committed to me, right?
He wants it. He wants things on his terms. And as long as they're on his terms, he's absolutely fine.
Yeah.
But, you know, what if he goes back to being a guy who is, and he might be producing stats. You know, I just think there was a big difference between 2018 through 2021 Kirk here, guy that produced stats, but to me produced very few, other than the Saints playoff game, big moments. Yeah. And then for 2 years with O'Connell, I thought he was doing some really positive stuff. So I the worst nightmare to me would be you got this hotshot 8th overall draft pick. And now the fan base is like, let's go to him.
Yeah.
I mean, the Falcons have put themselves in a hell of a sticky wicket here.
Yeah, it is. It in a lot of ways, it is really dumb because.
Oh, it's yeah.
It's people have compared it to the Packers Jordan Love situation. And I think maybe even
the Falcons,
did. But it's not because Aaron Rodgers was on these shorter term deals. I think when they drafted Jordan Love, Rodgers had like one more year left on his contract.
No one's done this with a. This is more like, and it's way worse than this. But the parallel I would give this is more like if Russell Wilson had been a first round pick of the Seahawks after Matt Flynn was signed. Yeah.
And even Flynn, like the contract wasn't in inflation,
no,
but his contract in 2012 or whatever year that was, 11 was relative to this was not nearly the same.
This is unprecedented. I can't think of another time that you have signed the quarterback it's $100 million guaranteed, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then turned around and said with the 8th pick, not only are we not
six
going to
weeks later.
And the Falcons, as they discussed on ESPN today, the Falcons were in desperate need of Dallas Turner.
Yeah.
They have no pass rush.
They could have grabbed a pass rusher, any of them, literally, because there was no defensive player came off the board for six. By the way, they could have traded back to some other place in the teens, picked up an extra pick somewhere, maybe picked Penix, or just drafted a defensive player, got an extra. Yeah. They also, if they wanted to, they also could have drafted Rome Odunze at 8, who might be this crazy stud receiver. Drake London, Roma Dunze.
I know.
You got the tight end, the running back. Like,
hey, thank you, Falcons, because you're in the conference. Thank you, Falcons. Hey, can we do this? Can we do a Vikings depth chart look right now at where things stand?
Sure.
Post first round. I was trying to think of fit check.
Fit check
after the first round, because I think this will provide clarity on why we all feel pretty damn good about things right now.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, quarterback. Let's and I'm looking at the depth chart, which is updated by ESPN right now. Quarterback: Sam Darnold, J.J. McCarthy, Nick Mullins, who might be there, might not. I don't know. But you start off with Darnold and McCarthy. I'm feeling pretty good about that.
Agreed. I love that quarterback room.
I'm feeling pretty
good
about
that. From a developmental standpoint. Yeah.
And now the Darnold thing to me, like, I like, because he can start. Mm-hmm. So, like,
do you think the third guy, ultimately, do you think they say goodbye to Nick Mullins? Because Darnold kind of checks the veteran box. Nick Mullins, well, you probably say goodbye to.
And they don't have, fourth string Jaren Hall, who I actually would keep. I don't think there's any harm in keeping him.
Unless you think he just can't play.
Yeah, but I think it's unfair to pass that judgment. I mean, you put him into a terrible situation.
Mm-hmm.
He shouldn't have played. He never was supposed to play.
Mm-hmm.
All right, at running back, Aaron Jones, Ty Chandler, Kane Wongwu, and Miles Gaskin. So really,
Gaskin's kind of just a guy.
Yeah,
Wongwu's not a factor in the offense, but maybe now that the kick return is different, maybe he fits in more. Sure. I'd like another running back, if possible, just like a third guy. And Aaron Jones is 30, so I would be interested in another body there for sure.
All right, wide receiver position one: Justin Jefferson, Trent Sherfield, who is the guy that they signed from the Bills, who evidently is a really good special teams guy and blocker. Lucky Jackson and Thayer Thomas. So the last two are just depth guys.
Jordan Addison.
Jefferson. And the next list is Addison, Naylor. And then the final list is Brandon Powell, Keneal Harry, who actually is still here. Not sure he's going to make it or not. I would like one more receiver.
Yeah, I don't think they have a WR3 here. I mean, Powell, I like Powell. I stand for Powell.
Yep.
But, yeah, if there's a guy, I wouldn't be shocked if – we'll see what the list looks like at the 108, but I wouldn't be shocked if they take a wide receiver with their next pick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Powell can be the third guy, but I'd prefer not to just cede that to him.
Yeah, and if he gets hurt, which someone's going to get hurt at some point.
What's your opinion on Naylor? Because he gets hurt all the time, but when he's been healthy, I thought he's flashed a little bit at times. Like, I think there's something there. We just never get a long enough look to see that.
I'm intrigued. He has definitely shown some flashes, some explosiveness. And he was, if I'm not mistaken, I think didn't he average like 18 or 20 yards a catch his last year at Michigan State? Like, there's some big playability, some chunk playability there from that guy.
Yes.
So if he can stay healthy, because it's for him, it's like it's been hamstrings and right.
Yeah, and like, it's always something.
Yeah.
And like he'll be playing really well in training camp, and he'll grab his leg and be gone for a month.
Can't make the club in a tub.
No, you
as
can't.
As they say.
Tight end T.J. Hockenson, who obviously is hurt, almost certainly won't begin the season playing. Josh Oliver, my guy Johnny Munt, Nick Muse. How do you feel about the tight end position with Hockenson hurt and we don't know when he's back exactly?
Yeah, I'm actually a little surprised that Nick Muse didn't get more run after the TJ Hockenson injury last year. He has looked good in like the offseason stuff. Man, Thor and Tyler have both talked about there's a couple like really interesting good athlete tight ends that you could maybe find on day three. Johnny Munt's time is borrowed at this point, right? It's been a nice run, man. The best tight end three in the NFL.
Yep.
Josh Oliver showed a little more life as a pass catcher last year, but he is one of the best run blocking. I think you're really stacked with those first two guys.
Yes.
But I wouldn't mind a better developmental third tight end that can catch passes.
Yep.
Somebody that can like be a red zone threat.
I think you have to be prepared for Hockenson to not be Hockenson for an entire season, if that makes sense.
Like not at full strength. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Just not look like himself. And the one thing is, especially upon his arrival and 2024 or three as well, he was so instrumental in the pass game. Like he almost makes it easier not to have a sure thing as the wide receiver three because he's such a threat. And I don't know that you can expect him to be that threat again, you know, at any point beyond like late next season.
No.
Offensive line, Christian Darrisaw at left tackle, Blake Brandel at left guard, Garrett Bradbury at center, Ed Ingram at right guard, Brian O'Neill, obviously right tackle, David Questenberry among the backup tackles. And backup guard is very light right now.
Yeah, they definitely need to draft interior offensive line. Definitely. Or I could even see them swinging some sort of a pre-week one post-training camp trade of some kind where you trade like a fifth or a sixth round pick in the future. But I feel great about the tackles. If Brian O'Neill and Christian Darrisaw are healthy, like that's an amazing tandem. Other than that, it's kind of Ed Ingram did take a step forward. If he takes the same step forward again, all of a sudden now, like he's an above average right guard. So there is some hope there. Bradbury, this is kind of the last year of his contract in terms of like the guaranteed money, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I don't
think he's always got a little something, like a back injury or something.
I don't think he's long for here.
So they definitely need like a Bo Limmer or somebody that can maybe play center and swing out to guard would be interesting.
I'm nervous about the guards. I mean, they have raved. O'Connell, going back to last season, raved about Brandel a lot. So perhaps he's being straight and perhaps he deserves to start. But yeah, that makes me nervous. Yeah. The defensive line to me is very interesting because it's the one place where they really haven't addressed it fully yet. It's a 3-4. So left defensive end, Jerry Tillery, who they signed, with Jonah Williams as his backup. The nose tackle, and this I don't like, is still Harrison Phillips. And the right defensive ends are Jonathan Bullard and Jihad Ward, who they signed. This to me is one of the two places I think you've got to upgrade.
That's a lot of Jags there. Just a lot of really there's is. A couple former high draft picks that haven't quite panned out. Bunch of randoms. But again, this is not a Super Bowl-ready team in 2024, right. So there's a couple positions like that and maybe interior offensive line that are going to be like phase two of the fixing here.
But I do think when we talk about this, I do think that there is a chance to fix two positions with one move because I do think if you get – and this might be – to go back to our conversation about March of 25, this might be getting a nose tackle. If you can kick Harrison Phillips outside – I think he becomes a better player.
I'm going to pull up a 2025 NFL free agents list.
Oh, God, this is reckless.
Feels a little bit early to do that, but...
Football.
Let's see here. Spotrac. What are we looking for? Like a defensive tackle that can get some push, right?
Yeah, yeah, we're looking for a big man.
I'm going to have to Google some of these names.
We're looking for a Kenny Clark type to be.
Wait, it says...
Kenny Clark in his prime.
2025. Yeah, like a Kenny Clark. This is 2024. Okay, I'll keep going on your depth chart. Okay. I'm going to pop open a list here.
All right, let's talk about the pass rushing edges, who are considered linebackers.
This is a great position group.
Jonathan Grenard, backed up by, very interesting here, Andre Carter II, who barely played last year, was considered, along with Ivan Pace, a great UDFA signing. And while he was out of the military and was in military shape, was considered not to be in great football shape, basically didn't play because of that. But there's a chance he's a bust. There's also a chance that after an offseason in the weight room with NFL people, that he actually takes a step and can play. That makes this, to me, super intriguing.
Because remember, they had Ivan Pace and Andre Carter kind of on the same level as these are the two priority UDFAs after last year's draft.
Some people wrote about Carter. I saw some write more about Carter than Pace.
there were some, and the mocks turned out to be wrong, but there were some mocks early in that process last year that had Andre Carter as like a first or a second round pick. And then he falls out of the draft. So obviously those mocks were not correct. But yeah, that's a guy that he's going to have to take a step in year two here, but that's a really interesting one. By the way, Kenny Clark is a free agent in 2025.
How old is Kenny Clark?
So he'll be 29 and a half years old at the time of free agency.
He's younger than I thought he was.
This is just like some of the guys who make a lot of money. Well, Cam Hayward is a free agent, but he's like 36 years old or something.
Yeah.
Harrison Phillips was a free agent after the year. That's the other thing. Like, you might lose Harrison Phillips already weak position group.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's kind of tough.
But then you're going to have more cap space, and you already are positioned really well in cap space. Mm-hmm.
So you're saying Edge, Andre Carter, Jonathan Grenard, and then on the other side,
Dallas Turner, Andrew Van Ginkle, Patrick Jones II, who I think is on his last opportunity here, and he's done some things, so like he might make it. The Dallas Turner pick I love because it sounds like there's a chance that they might start him as a pass rush specialist, which I guess would mean Van Ginkle would play on first and second down, but you have now created a ton of flexibility. This position, the position itself loses strength because of Hunter's departure. I think the depth makes it better.
Yeah. Yeah. That's one of their strongest position groups. And it'll be so interesting to see how those chess pieces are used. I mean, I think Van Ginkle probably gets more run early. And then Dallas Turner, it's kind of like Danielle Hunter needed a little bit of time, even back to Everson Griffin. Like, you don't just start playing 1,000 snaps. But there's going to be times where you could put three edge rushers on the field, do some NASCAR fronts where maybe some little couple double A gap.
Football.
Let's go.
Football.
Oh, I'm very curious to see what the mad scientist does.
It's going to be.
Like, hey, he's going to do some things. Yeah.
Well, no, that's not. I'm trying to find a couple free agent defensive tackles that could be interesting here. I don't know about this one. Like, Javon Kinlaw was a former first-round pick by the 49ers, and he'll be a free agent, 26 years old. He did kind of take a little bit of a jump last year, but he's been kind of a bust for San Francisco.
Right.
So.
Okay. Inside linebackers, those who will be assigned of stopping the run, Blake Cashman, starter. Yeah. Ivan Pace Jr., a starter. Now, the backups are interesting because it's, according to this, the backup to Blake Cashman is Abraham Beauplan. And then the backups to Pace are Camus, is it Grugier Hill, and Brian Asamoah, who I think is very much in his last opportunity to make this club.
Yeah.
So there's not a ton of depth there, but I do think the addition of Cashman and Hicks was good. Jordan Hicks did a lot. Good things. I was far more impressed with him last season than I was 2 years ago, but he was an aging player. So I like the starters in this case. And I think Pace is going to improve, and he was already good.
Yeah.
The depth is probably a long-term issue, but I think they've strengthened themselves there.
You know, Blake Cashman's an interesting one because it took him a few years to even really get to where I think that was really his only, like, of the 4 years he's been in the NFL,
he started with the Jets.
Yep. So how was it? Just kind of a nice little pop up year, and he got paid. Congratulations, or is he now a sustainable starting caliber linebacker that can take on a load of snaps? That's 400, 500, 700 snaps. But there's a lot of times where they would only put one linebacker on the field, depending on how you classify Josh Metellus, who is a safety by position, but kind of played like a linebacker role at times. So. It's positionless defense in a lot of ways, but Blake Cashman is a linebacker. I do like it. And you get off the Jordan Hicks had a nice year when he was healthy, but you get off the Jordan Hicks train before he goes over the age cliff and you get younger.
Close to that. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Okay. And finally at cornerback and safety at cornerback, they actually have the left corners, Caleb Evans, and Andrew Booth Jr. At right corner, Byron Murphy Jr. and Shaq Griffin with Mekhi Blackman on the third team. I disagree with this completely. I think it's going to be Byron Murphy Junior, I think, is going to be moved inside in the nickel full time now. He won't play the perimeter or the outside. So I think he goes inside full time. And I think there's a very good chance that your opening day starters are Shaq Griffin and Mekhi Blackmon outside.
Yeah.
So I disagree with how they have this broken down.
That's another one too. I could see them potentially, because I think you can get out from Byron Murphy Jr.'s contract after the year. So I haven't looked at like the cornerback free agent list, but if you've got room for two big splash signings, like big top of the line splash signings, is cornerback a position where you go get a 27-year-old free agent for $17 million a year next year?
And I'm pretty high on Blackman's potential. I think Mekhi Blackmon might be, like, if there's one from this group that I think, hey, there's a future here.
Yeah.
It's Mekhi Blackmon. And then at safety, Cam Bynum, obviously, Harrison Smith, who I'm guessing is back for one last hurrah, Josh Metellus, when they do use three, and the guy who is clearly going to be, who might not make the team, which would be very interesting, is Lewis Cien.
Yep. Yeah, man, it's radio silence on that front. Session for him.
I just don't think he fits what Flores wants to do. At this point, I don't know there's anything that he can do short of try to reinvent his game.
Yeah.
And I mean, they've got three guys already, right?
Last year had to have been really demoralizing for him, because he put in all that work to come back from the broken leg. KOC kind of pumped his tires and talked him up in the offseason. Yeah, he's in here every day. He's getting better.
I just got a thought on this one. And I know he's been a bust. You think you get like a sixth round pick for him, a seventh round pick, just to give yourself some more picks for next year before you turn him loose?
You could probably get something for him, but oof. Yeah, I mean, only have three draft picks next year. So if somebody wants to float a six-round pick for Lewis Cien,
I think that one's a sunk cost.
Yep.
Like, it hurts, but I think it's a sunk.
Yeah. They have like another offseason of work to do to really get the roster put together. But then it depends. If you still have a couple holes, is your quarterback just good enough to make up for those holes? And that's what we don't know about J.J. McCarthy yet. By the way, we were talking about Bill Belichick on the Pat McAfee show. Nick Saban is front and center tonight, day two on ESPN.
Everyone quit. These guys. Everyone got fired or quit.
And these guys are kind of fun. Like, Nick Saban loosens up a little bit. Little bourbon under the desk.
It's amazing how different these guys can be when they're being paid to talk.
Yeah, Bill, listen, we're going to give you $1 million to just kind of hang out and goof around. And if you could even just like text some of your friends to come on. Yeah, you want me to text KOC? Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
But all of a sudden it becomes, oh, no problem, dog.
Yeah. I'd love to just see him stay in media for the next 5 to 10 years. Well, I mean, 10 years, he'll be in his 80s. But
the Omaha production role, if he's going to be on like on the couch during games explaining things, I'm all in.
Yeah, in a dynamic, fun way. Correct. He can still wear those sleeveless hoodies if he wants to. But
the guy last night with McAfee was a different guy. Like, that's the Belichick that players are like, you guys don't see this.
Yes.
That was the guy we don't see.
Yeah. So, well, I think, you know what? I think we can put a bow on this thing here. And, obviously, if they trade back in or something, we're going to be around. The Timberwolves are on later.
Yep.
We'll have Flagrant Howls over the weekend here. But, and I saw some people that jumped in late in the comment section saying, hey, you guys, why aren't you talking about J.J. McCarthy? We spent almost the first hour, so definitely go back and check out, like, pretty much the whole first hour we talked about J.J. McCarthy, the new Vikings quarterback. Judd went over some of the notes from his first big press conference as Vikings quarterback. But just any other final thoughts from you here as we reflect back to an amazing night one and look ahead to the Vikings when they have their next picks on day three.
No, thanks again. And you guys are awesome.
Yeah.
Purple Daily fans make the show.
Yep. You guys are the best. We appreciate you making this somehow inexplicably one of the most popular football podcasts in America. You showed out at the Fillmore last night and we just really appreciate you. And if you want to get your hands on some JJ to JJ official Purple Daily merch here, right here. Scornorth.com/shop. So thank you guys. We'll hit you with sort of a draft recap episode tomorrow once the Vikings are done making their day three picks, and some Vikings vent line as well. For the sports dad, Judd Zolgad, I am Phil Mackey. This is Purple Daily, where we just want the Vikings to win a Super Bowl. before we die.